My baby's gone, and I'm almost in my grave. My baby's gone, and I'm almost in my grave. But for your love, good girl, I will be your slave. My baby left me, said she didn't mean me no good. My baby, she left me, said she didn't mean me no good. And that's the reason why I'm moving on back to the woods. Well, thanks for a long one, boy. Oh, play it right. If you live right, play it that way. My baby left me. She didn't even say goodbye.
My baby left me. Still Limit Radio.
All
right, everybody, it's a Brian and Vinny show, a very echoey Brian and Vinny show.
Indeed. You warned me, but wow.
It's February 3rd, 2010 here at figure4online.com. This is what happens when you do a show in just a room. A room that is untreated, so to speak. I don't think a lot of people realize the work that I put into the old room. Actually, it wasn't a lot of work. I
put some blankets on the wall.
I hung some blankets on the walls.
But it's not been done yet in here.
No, I don't want to hang blankets on the walls in here, because I'm trying to move on from that into something at least a little more classy. So I've got some... I'm going to be ordering some acoustic paneling to put in this room. And probably won't have it done... It's probably going to be a few weeks, everybody, so you're going to have to put up with this sound. I think somebody on the board said it sounded like it was recording in the basement. Not quite that bad, but it may as well be, based on the echo in here. So, anyway.
As basements go, this is pretty nice.
Yeah, what the hell can you do? We moved in. We're in. It went so much smoother than I could have possibly imagined. I expected disaster. I don't even know how much time I spent last night very carefully taking apart every single piece of this equipment. And taking photographs of everything so that I could make sure that I put it back together exactly as I had... I'm not much of a tech guy. I have a modicum of an understanding
Christ,
of it.
That's true.
Or at least I thought. Apparently I'm better than I expected or better than I anticipated, because I put this thing back together. I had to refer to the photographs exactly two times. Once was when I was hooking up my monitor, because the monitor here actually has two cables. And I actually did not know which one went into the back of the computer. And I didn't even really need the phone, because the one I plugged in didn't work. So that was the first time. And
where
then the second
time.
Where
does your other monitor cable go?
Hmm?
If your monitor has two cables...
Well, there's one for digital and one for analog. So there's one depending on how you plug it in.
So one of these is just loose.
It just hangs there. And then the other one was I was putting everything together, and there was one single cable that was left... And I had a general idea of where it went, but there's a whole bunch of knobs on the back of the phone gizmo, and so I had to figure out exactly which slot it went into. Often a problem. So anyway, it's now all set up. Everything is good. We did the Dave show. The phones worked. I did a test. The 800 number works for when we're going to take calls at some point down the road. And everything is up and running, and it's great news. So,
that's a new phone over there.
No, these are all the same.
Oh, they're the same? Okay,
everything's the same. Nothing, literally nothing has changed except I dusted a little bit.
I thought we only had one phone.
And this junk over here I got rid of. So I now have a more clean desk area, which is a huge plus. And there's a mic thing over there.
The mic thing is...
I've still got the mic thing. By the way, if anybody listening to this wants a mic thing, I'm trying desperately to get rid of this thing. Tried to eBay it several times, and it's failed every single time. So just make me an offer. If you want the mic thing, and if you don't know what that is... That's what it's called, the mic thing. Do a Google for mic thing, and it should come up. It's M-I-C for microphone.
I was going to say, there may be an indie guy named Mike Thing somewhere.
There may well be. That should be your new gimmick.
Mike Thing?
Actually, Mike Thing. But if you want the Mike Thing, just make me an offer, and I'll work with you, because I've got to get rid of this goddamn thing. And that would help me pay for some acoustic tiling in here. I've actually got a... There's a picture on the website of the tiling, the way that it's set up, and it looks like, I don't want to say it looks like modern art, but it looks a hell of a lot better than hanging these...
quilts.
These quilts. Actually, they weren't quilts. It was just a...
Comforter?
It was a comforter. One on each wall. So anyway, that's the update. You're going to have to put up with the echo for a while here, but other than that, everything should be working just fine. Obviously, you just heard the music. If you listen to the Dave Show, you heard the phone service.
You heard Dave.
Everything seems to be working perfectly. I did have to get two brand new numbers, but I never answered the phones anyway, so it doesn't matter. So anyway, that's the story here. And on today's program, we're doing two shows in a row. You're going to have to come back here tomorrow, Vinny.
That's sad.
For Impact. But
that's sad.
I have decided that today, it's Wednesday, we're a day later than usual. There's really no need to review the Royal Rumble. If you've got any comments on the Rumble, Vinny, you can quickly make them. But you were busy cooking the whole time.
Well, I actually did go back and watch, because I missed like virtually the entire first hour. So I went back and watched that. I don't think I have anything earth-shattering. Christian and Zeke was surprisingly good. I did find myself for a second thinking, boy, Zeke's gotten a lot better. And then I had a memory about a year and a half ago, Jeff Hardy wrestled Vladimir Kozlov. And I thought to myself, boy, Kozlov's gotten a lot better. And it turns out Jeff Hardy's just awesome.
All right, enough out of you.
Suspect Christian's also just awesome.
Hold on. Before you go any further, I've gotten Vinny a table here to put his laptop on, the one that always breaks. So far, it hasn't broken yet in this room. Mm-hmm. But that mic that you've got there, Vinny, you have to speak into it.
I see.
So let's turn
just
your
some furniture here.
Yeah, there's no need. You don't have to be staring at me the whole time, which is why I originally got the mic thing. In fact, the creepiness of
seriously?
You. Seriously. No, it's not. It was an unintended side benefit.
Well, we have...
Just make sure that thing is on the towel. That thing down there. The stool. I know that sounded lewd, but I don't want that stool digging into the carpeting here, so I basically just put a towel underneath it because of your great weight.
Indeed.
I thought we might end up downstairs if you sat down too vigorously.
Yeah.
So now you can speak into the mic and look at your computer at the same time.
This is better.
Yes, much better. So just make sure that you speak into that thing. It's like you have to learn to look ahead, look forward, mm-hmm. but avert your eyes.
Yes, keep your head pointed forward and the eyes pointed right.
Kind of like when breasts are in front of you. You have to, you know, look forward, but avert your eyes from them.
I gave up on that about age 14. I just stare at them now. We had a skit with Crime Time. All I know is someone here thought it would be a good idea to make Family Matters Urkel jokes in 2010. We had a bunch of wacky skits. The Sheamus versus Randy Orton, very boring match. I actually attempted to watch this again. I got about 3 minutes in. It was just deathly dull.
Why did you try to watch that match again?
I don't know. Because I did watch most of this the first time through. It was, you know, the crowd wanted to cheer Randy, but then they gave him absolutely nothing. They gave the crowd nothing to cheer for. He would take over, and the pace would not pick up. He would not show any fire. He would just start doing moves. There was no difference. But whoever was on offense, it was just the same boring match for a long time with a crappy finish. So that about sucked. Ray vs. Taker was really good, and it was the polar opposite in that when Taker was on offense, it was very slow. When Ray was on offense, it was very fast. So the crowd cheered whenever Ray made a big comeback. This is not rocket science. Royal Rumble opened with Dolph Ziggler and Evan Bourne, two guys who have not won on TV, it seems, in about a year. I actually took the time to look up every 1-2 combo in Royal Rumble history to see if I can find a bigger pair of losers. It was hard. Like, in 1990, for example, Coco Beware was number 2. He was a bigger loser than either of these guys, but the other guy was Ted DiBiase, who was a huge star. So the only one I could find that was really close to this, in 2000, number 1 was D'Lo Brown. And number 2 was Grandmaster Sex A. That may have been a pair of bigger losers than this. It's pretty hard to tell. And other than that, apparently there was a great controversy involving CM Punk being eliminated by Triple H when he was. And I was confused about the controversy at the time. I went back and watched it, and I was confused still because the gimmick was CM Punk would come out, clear the ring, cut a promo, and repeat that 3 or 4 times. And he did so. They worked in a comedy bit with great Colleen and Beth Phoenix in there. And he whacked Zack Ryder with a microphone and dumped him. And then he said he declared himself to be better than whoever would come through that curtain next. Up next was Triple H. Everyone in the crowd knew CM Punk was fucked. He, in fact, held his own for a minute or two until Drew McIntyre came out. They wrestled some more, and then Hunter countered Punk's finisher and dumped him over the top rope. And I thought, what the hell was wrong with that? In what way was that a burial?
It was a burial, but it could have... I don't know if burial is the right word, but...
CM Punk had done everything he needed to do in this Royal Rumble. Anything else...
Okay, so here's the question.
Right?
Why did it have to be Triple H?
Would you rather it was Drew McIntyre?
Why not? Why couldn't it have been a young guy?
I would argue it doesn't really matter.
Well, I think it does matter a little bit when you've got the same fucking guys on top for 10 years now. Yeah, do we really... Did Triple H really need to be the man to send this man out of the Rumble? You couldn't think of a dozen guys that would be better served getting rid of him?
I don't think...
Could have been wrong with Ron Killings.
He got his shot later. They love him all of a sudden.
Yeah, so what would have been wrong with him coming out and doing this deed?
I can only say the crowd in that building, Triple H was the guy they wanted to see do it.
Well,
so I don't think anyone would have been made a star overnight by dumping CM Punk. It was just one little cute spot. They tossed the guy who had been annoying for 10 minutes out of the ring. It was not a career-making move that they wasted on Triple H. It's all much ado about nothing. So, a fun show. Not the best I ever saw, but I did not feel ripped off when it was over, and I had to pay for this one. So
you didn't have to pay for this one. I don't think anyone brought you any money.
Actually, that's not true.
Okay, well, where are these people to bring me money then?
Matt Farmer, apparently.
Oh.
Matt Farmer and Dan Adam. I don't think they've ever been. No, Matt has.
Well, they're invited Saturday. I think we're going to do UFC here. We're going to test it out.
You're going to need another couch.
Who do you think is going to come?
Well, you just said you invited Matt Farmer.
Tony doesn't care. Dan's gone. That means you and Craig. I think there's enough room with a couch and a chair.
If one other person shows up, they're in trouble.
We've got a beanbag.
You got a beanbag.
We do have a beanbag. And just lay him down on the floor with some pillows. That's what Craig likes to do anyway. He just lays on the floor with a pillow.
There's some truth to that.
Like he's a piece of furniture. You know, another great thing about this place is I now have Verizon Fios Internet.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you that don't know what that is, I don't really know either, except it's really fast.
But you know what it does.
It's fiber optics. But this house was all, it was built wired. Like everything is already wired in here. And so it's got fiber optic internet and the phone lines were done by Verizon. Unfortunately, I could not get Fios TV. There's an issue with the city. And I may have to wait until July to get the Fios TV in here, but apparently that's awesome too. Tony has it. And by the way, he lives a minute away and he has it and I don't. But he raves about it. But anyway, this internet, I cannot even believe how fast it is. Like upload speeds and download speeds are retarded. I went to upload the Dave show today. And usually uploading a show takes, you know, 5-6 minutes for a 40-minute show. If it's an hour and a half Brian and Vinny show, it can take like 10 minutes at my old place. I believe they said it was something like you got 3 megabits per second upload rate or something wacky like that. I don't remember what it was. Some bullshit. The number was 3 is all you need to know. And this is 35 up and 35 down. And I decided, well, let's give this a shot. So the Dave show was like 40, 45 minutes, and I hit upload, and then I grabbed my phone, and I found the stopwatch, and I hit go, and 27 seconds later, it was done.
And that made you happy?
Almost peed myself. Just ridiculous. Like, if I actually downloaded movies or something like that, you could download, like, an entire movie in a minute. It's just absurd. So anyway, I recommend it to everybody, and the internet moves really fast. In fact, it moves so fast that my shitty computer here is just too slow for it. My computer is slowing down my internet instead of the internet slowing down the computer.
Are you going to upgrade the computer?
I don't know. I'm too cheap. I need to save some money, to be honest with you. So if anybody wants to donate to the computer fund, you can email me at this point. We can work out some sort of deal where you donate to me, and I appreciate it. We're going to talk about...
That's
Smackdown.
A great deal you've worked out.
Well, you know,
A fine business agreement that benefits all parties equally.
I didn't think that was a funny joke, and then there was just a moment of silence, so I decided to move on. And then finally your brain, at 34 now, has slowed down a little, I can see, and it took a while for it to register.
I've never been a fast thinker.
Every now and then I think I got a good one, and that was the one.
You actually had another one earlier about the...
I forget.
It was a lewd joke, actually.
Oh, I'm good at those.
Yeah.
All right, let's do SmackDown here. And then we'll do...
Oh, the wrong tab, I think.
Raw... Anyway. Tab?
You were talking about putting cables into things.
Oh, that one really wasn't that funny. So DX came out to open up the show, and I don't even remember this.
Are we on SmackDown?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, DX came out. What happened here? Before they could even do
How
much...
How do we have no memory of this?
I didn't watch this Friday night, so now it's now almost a week old. Rey Mysterio interrupted their shtick. Of all people.
That's right.
And he said he respected Shawn, but he felt Shawn did not respect him. Because as Shawn's been talking for months now, he says he needs to win the Royal Rumble to challenge Undertaker at WrestleMania. This implies Shawn thinks Rey has no chance against Undertaker. And Shawn basically confirmed this. He said he thought Rey had no chance against Undertaker. And asked Rey what he was doing in his face. Hunter said, Hornswoggle's not here, so you may as well run along. Strange to see in this programming the baby faces really being mean to each other.
Yeah.
So, Shawn asked what happened if Rey didn't make it to the Rumble. Rey said if there's a problem, we can settle it in the ring tonight. So, they were then interrupted by the Straight Edge Society, which now has four members, which is Luke Gallows, Serena, CM Punk, and CM Punk's beard is the fourth member. It's vast. Punk said Rey must be high because he couldn't wrestle Shawn because, after all, tonight DX is going to defend their tag titles against himself and Luke Gallows. Hunter then claimed that he had been watching SmackDown. I call bullshit. But he said nobody cared about whether Punk drank or smoked. And he said he himself did not drink or smoke or do drugs either, but he does not look like he had been on a crack binge. He told Punk to clean up, shave, and take a shower. All fine ideas. Except don't shave until Mania. Then Teddy Long came out. He then stripped CM Punk and Luke Gallows of the title shot for no good reason. And CM Punk was pissed, and I don't blame him.
I don't know if he necessarily stripped him, just said, you're not getting it tonight.
I guess he delayed it.
Yeah.
But, yes.
So they are getting it, actually.
We learned later that, well, now they're going to get it in a three-way on Raw.
Yeah.
So it still sucks to be them. But he then announced Shawn versus Rey for the first time ever, which
Probably
was
not
a
the first three-way the Straight Edge Society has been having.
Oh. That wasn't very funny either.
No. I tried.
You can force comedy sometimes, it's bad, but...
Didn't work.
Anywho. He booked Shawn versus Rey for the first time ever, which was a lie. And then he also booked Punk versus Hunter, which, to my recollection, actually is the first time ever, and they didn't mention it, so whatever.
Who?
Punk and Hunter? Did they wrestle one-on-one before?
Maybe they have.
They may have. I don't remember it.
I think I would have remembered that. Maybe not.
No. Yeah. So, Hunter was fine accepting this challenge. CM Punk was just even more pissed than he was after losing the tag title shot.
We had the match, and the only thing that I remember off the top of my head is that the teacher kept calling Hunter the father of the industry. That's what he called him.
Yeah.
The father of the industry. So then they did this match, and Serena took the ref. Gallows walloped Hunter. Punk set up for the GPS. Hunter slipped out, went for the
GPS?
Pedigree. Yeah, the GPS.
I see.
He's trying to locate his face as he does it. Serena broke it up, jumped on his back. And this was the DQ, the finish. At least it was a DQ. And it looked like she kept trying to jump on his back, and she kept falling off repeatedly. And so finally she got up there, and they were going to shave Triple H's head as if. And out came Shawn to make the save. And the big deal here was that Serena stood up to DX, and she kind of stared him down. And then Shawn teased super kicking her, but she bailed at that point, And that was that. She did great here,
mm-hmm.
And the whole thing was fun. It was a fine Triple H Punk match. It's just something where there's something about Triple H matches where he'll be there in the ring and he'll give his opponent like all sorts of stuff, but they still don't get over. It's astounding, really. Like some guys you'll see have a match and they'll give their opponent everything, and their opponent will come off like he's... like he's really accomplishing something.
Well, Shawn Michaels.
Whereas when Hunter does it, it just comes off like Hunter's letting them do stuff. It's, I don't know why. Maybe it's just me.
It could be, and this is not the first. I agree. and this is not the first example of it, but Hunter did have 80 pounds on Punk or something like that. He was still much bigger.
I don't know what it is.
Much tanner, clean shaven, better looking. Serena, by the way, cute with a shaved head.
Yeah.
That's pretty remarkable.
Giant honkers.
That helps.
Jericho and Truth. This was a revenge match from Truth pinning him last week. And ended up with Truth turning a lion tamer into a cradle. And then Jericho went for the code breaker, but Truth grabbed the ropes, rolled through into a cradle for the pin. I have absolutely no idea why Jericho is doing all of these jobs, especially since they're he may very well be winning the Elimination Chamber in a couple of weeks.
I can only assume... Well, I don't know, because because Truth pinned him in the six-man last week, and he pinned him here in this match, and then he dumped out Big Show and Mark Henry in the Rumble. They must be sticking him in the chamber and figured no one would have any faith in him if we didn't let him do something. Hmm. I don't know. Maybe Jericho will pin him to win the chamber? I don't know.
Then Dave's golf hat did an interview.
Preppy Dave.
I have no idea what this man was wearing, but he was a great heel.
There are 52 weeks in the year, and 51 weeks, Dave Bautista is absolutely cooler than me. This week may have been the exception.
Remember that when we did the Brian and Vinny battle and we did the contract signing or the debate at Granny's and
yes,
I wore that hat?
Signing.
Heat, everybody. That's how you get hated, is you wear a goofy hat like this and a golf shirt.
And a sweater vest, yes.
Yeah, this is something else. So he did a promo, said he was going to win the Rumble, all this other...
Really what he said, he has got a promo, it was generic and fine, the hat. The hat was the star of this segment.
McIntyre and Morrison for the IC title about the 80th time. It was fine. They've had better matches. I have not been really blown away by this feud. There was a moment where they brawled into what Todd Grisham described as into the WWE universe. That's what he said when they went in the crowd. So they did a bunch of spots here. Morrison dragged him into the ring and went for the twisting moonsault. Drew got his knees up, DDT'd Morrison on the belt. Clean pin was a no DQ match, but they're trying. They're trying with McIntyre.
Yes.
What the hell can you say? They need Morrison to be a strong babyface, so it kind of sucks to be him, but they're certainly trying with McIntyre.
He cut a really good promo, Morrison did beforehand, about how after McIntyre beat him for the Intercontinental title, Morrison saw him drop the belt to do a running chest bump with Sheamus backstage, which I sincerely hope is true. But this showed disrespect to the Intercontinental title, and it showed why Drew was not fit to be champion. Say he didn't think he had to play by the same rules everyone else did. Well, tonight there are no rules. And so they had I thought it was a pretty good brawl. We'll talk more about this when we get to 24/7, but it was not like every other match on WWE TV, and that's good. And they're just basic stuff, like Striker. McIntyre got the cane first and hit Morrison with it, and so then later when Morrison cut him off and hit him with cane shots, the crowd went crazy because it was revenge. This stuff is not hard sometimes.
Michelle came out and did a promo about how they'd sent Mickey back to the barnyard last week and issued an open challenge to anybody in the back and who should come out but Layla in a Piggy James sumo suit. And she danced out on the ramp.
Layla dancing in this fat suit was the highlight of this feud by 1,000 miles.
Yes.
This is the first moment of this feud, I think, where I thought, this is awesome.
She danced and she gyrated and then she acted like she got all blown up and got in the ring. They fought over a bagel. Michelle chased her around the ring.
I wrote pastry.
She got tired and then Michelle pinned her. The match itself, this should have ended with the dancing.
Should have. I noted the crowd was chanting boring. They worked over this pastry or bagel, whatever it was, but they did it forever.
Yeah.
It went way too long. Matt Stryker was doing some very horrible fake laughing that did not help. But
no, this match, it was just like, it's a taped show, too. You could not have edited this out and added one more interview backstage or something. This went on forever, and it sucked. Died to death. Then we had Dave meeting with Sean, and said he would see him on Sunday. And I could have sworn Sean said he thought Dave was overrated. Am I losing my mind?
No, Sean calls him overrated. It says right here in my notes.
Okay, somebody asked me, somebody sent in, I'll even read the email here, because I don't know if maybe this person didn't watch SmackDown. Oh, it's in my other thing. Never mind. But yeah, somebody asked me, when did Sean say Dave was overrated? And I was like, it was right there on television.
Right here in this promo, right before he wrestled Rey Mysterio. He, the setup was something like, It was something like Dave told him to stay out of his way during the Rumble and asked Sean what he thought about that. And Sean said, I think you've always been overrated. And so Dave started to threaten him more when Hunter showed up. And Sean went to wrestle, and Hunter and Dave had a stare down, and then Dave backed off.
That was a segment right there. And then finally we had Sean versus Ray. I loved this match.
Oh, yeah.
I love this match because I've seen it once before. It was on the Eddie tribute show, I believe. But regardless, you've got Shawn Michaels getting to play the Giant.
Yes.
Which is always fun. You get Rey Mysterio in with a guy who's just... He's not small. Well, I mean, he's 190, maybe 185. But
you know, he can keep up with Rey.
It's a guy that is not ridiculously larger than Rey. So Rey can actually get heat on a man. Rey can play a heel role. And it's a fun dynamic. Both guys do all sorts of things that they don't normally do in their matches. And the finish, of course, was the famous Rey hitting the 619, going for the springboard, and Sean super kicked the shit out of him in midair. I've had a lot of people emailing me saying that the Shelton Benjamin one was, in fact, better. Maybe I'll have to go back and watch it. I don't know if people just thought it was so much greater because it was the first time it was done. I watched this one with Sean and Rey, and that Shelton Benjamin one would have to be phenomenal for it to be noticeably better than this one.
I
will grant you a tie, but I
will say only, because I do not remember, I remember the kick itself, obviously. They were both really awesome. The Shelton Benjamin crowd had a much larger reaction.
Sure. But the actual super kick of the job itself,
I suspect they were dang close to identical.
This one was so goddamn great. It was so great. Plus, I think the other thing which I mentioned was when Sean super kicked Shelton Benjamin, you had Jim Ross pissing himself. And here you had Todd Grisham, who's a black hole of charisma compared to Jim Ross at his peak.
Yes.
And Matt Stryker kind of freaked out, but still, nothing like a good old Jim Ross, JR freak out here. So I think that kind of...
Imagine Gus Johnson calling this kick.
Holy. Imagine Hogwood. Mike Hogwood calling this.
From ROH.
Yeah. Both of those would be fabulous. But anyway, it was a great main event. I loved it. And, that was not the finish, by the way.
Sean hit the kick.
And then Batista ran in for the DQ.
That's right, yes. So Dave ran out, and then Hunter ran out. Hunter and Dave brawled, and the lights went out, and Taker chokeslammed Ray and Sean together. So we had a very fun show, a hell of a main event, and they built to the angle with Hunter and Dave and Sean, and then you also built to Taker and Ray. So this show was a home run.
Now, all these shows have been home runs. I can't understand. I guess there have been some Raws that have been kind of shitty, but these people still know what they're doing when they really try. And SmackDown was great. Raw, I thought, was awesome. We'll talk about that in a second. And first, however, let's play this song by David Hop Hoppy.
I'm an American!
Sash your ass!
Watch me kick! You can roll with rock or you
can suck my dick!
I'm a porno flick! I'm like Amazing Grace!
I'm gonna humbug some hoes after I rock this place!
No.
Super fly!
Vinny V.
Fuck you!
That was a great one.
That was pretty good right there. I will say, David Hop Hoppy has always had some... However you pronounce it.
Huggafy?
I think it's Hoag Hoagie, actually, to be honest with you. But I like Hop Hoppy better. Because it just sounds like, who would name their kid Hop Hoppy? You know what I mean? We already did Give Me a Break. We'll play... we'll do some more here after a while, I guess. I suppose we should get going on Raw. Let me play one more, just as a musical interlude. And then we'll... Another coast drop. It's another coast-to-coast drop.
It was the first one?
Yeah, remember we had the one about giants, demons, and other issues?
Yes, I do remember that now.
Again, George Norrie, everybody.
For some reason, it's giants that gets me.
Giants, demons, and other issues.
I guess I have an easier time believing in demons than I do in giants. I don't know why.
Other issues to me now is, like, the internet cable's not working right. So I'm thinking giants, demons, and some cable issues. Problems. Let's play this song. Or this
and
drop.
If you took guns away, I think that alien or otherwise could walk in here and take us over and say, walk down here, we've got these holes already drilled in the mountain, and get in your chains and go down there.
You know what? I think I actually heard that when it was played on the Coast to Coast, and I don't listen to it all the time. Sometimes I do.
And if you took guns away, I think that alien or otherwise could walk in here and take us over and say, walk down here, we've got these holes already drilled in the mountain, and get in your chains and go down there.
Okay, let's listen to this for a second.
So aliens have come
from... Let's dissect this man's theory.
Far, far away.
Aliens from outer space, distant worlds, have come to planet Earth, and without us noticing, they have been drilling underground caves or prisons in our mountains.
Yeah.
And the only thing stopping them from taking over...
is guns.
...is the 44 Magnum. That they have not found a solution to yet.
Yeah. I just love I love Art Bell and all, but I start listening to these dingbats talking about their harebrained theories about this and that, and I always just sit there and I ask, why? Like, for example, alien abductions, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Aliens coming down and operating on us. Why?
To learn how we work.
Vince.
Yeah.
Okay, so they've got the technology to do whatever they have to do to come to Earth from far, far away.
You would think they could just do an X-ray.
And they have to lift us up out of our cars.
And cut us open.
Put us on a fucking operating table in their flying saucer. Cut us open and examine us that way. That's...
Maybe they're just mean.
Are they still doing bloodletting? what other antiquated medical... you know what I mean? It's absurd. Ridiculous. You know what I mean? They need our DNA. Why would they need our DNA?
That I don't know.
Why would... I mean, seriously, you're from another fucking planet. You ain't gonna have the same DNA. What the fuck would you do with our DNA? Why would they mate with us?
I don't know.
They need to create an alien-human hybrid, and the best way they can do it is fucking... You come all this way...
to get laid, yes.
There's got to be an easier way.
They're out of women.
There has got to be an easier way. They need our resources. Oh, really? There's no other fucking planet with trees in this entire fucking universe? This is just... every one of these explanations is so fucking stupid.
Wouldn't you burn more resources getting here than you would find here?
It's the most goddamn ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Are you going to...
They need our gold.
A wood-burning space saucer?
There wasn't enough gold on their planet. They needed gold. So they fucking came all the way to Earth? Sounds like they got bigger problems than needing gold.
Do you ever see Battlefield Earth?
No. I refuse to watch
it. It is the worst movie I ever saw, without any hesitation. But there's a scene about gold in there.
Everybody should, I will say this, everybody should read, I think it's called The Day After Roswell. It's actually, what they did was they found every possible living witness to Roswell that they could find. Literally like hundreds of them. And they interviewed every single one of them, and they build a case that they say, if you took this to a civil suit, for example... The amount of evidence that would be needed in a civil suit. There's more than enough evidence to say that something happened at Roswell. That I'm fine with. I don't know if it was fucking aliens that came all this way and
crashed.
And crashed once they got here. Okay, seriously. You came all the way through interstellar space and lightning struck your craft and it blew up. Okay, not sure about that. But I honest to God believe that something did happen in Roswell. And when you read this book... When you read all of these people and all of their stories, there is absolutely no way that nothing happened. It's just, that's true. The rest of the bullshit I don't know about, the crash and all this stuff, something happened there if you read this book. But they didn't fucking come here to get our gold or our women.
Or our trees.
Or our trees.
How on the... hell to begin to the subject.
This stupid drop from coast to coast about aliens drilling holes in mountains and putting us in there. Why would they do that? That's the question. That is the question.
Apparently they have no better work power source than slave labor.
I was trying to think, like I don't know. I don't know. Do people go in the jungle and drill holes in the mountains and put monkeys in them? Why would you do that?
I don't know.
Just why would you
do
these
things? If you're going to put an earth creature to work, why would you choose humans?
It's true.
Bears?
Well, these lazy ass humans nowadays.
Well,
shouldn't they go back in time when man was more hardworking?
Even then, why do you think man trained horses? It's not just because we're lazy, because horses are stronger.
Oh, ridiculous. All right, let's do Raw, and then I'll play a song. I talked myself out there. I need to save the song play. I don't even have a Raw report. That's right, I didn't do it in the newsletter this week. But I did review
the show.
I did watch a show.
That'll help.
In fact, I watched the Bret Hart thing again. They opened up with a Briscoe graphic. That was pretty cool. They called out Edge as the winner of the Rumble. He trimmed his beard a bit. He's out of the mountains and back in civilization now. Maybe he was in one of those holes in the mountains. Maybe that's where he was the whole time.
It's like
aliens put him in the hole in the mountain that they drilled.
Remember the last time he came back and he had an amazing beard. A beard that would put CM Punk to shame, and it lasted one show.
Mm-hmm.
Then he came back at the Rumble, and he had a beard. It was not like that other time, but he had a solid beard, and then his beard had gotten weaker by 24 hours later.
Why didn't he just shave before he comes back?
That's what I'm asking. Does he not know he's going to debut?
Apparently not. Maybe there's a chute in the tube in the mountain that deposits him on Raw, unaware.
And he passes through where the midgets live under the ring.
So he came out and talked about how great it felt, and he did this big promo about how when he was down, he was talking about how he was going to come back, and he saw Jericho burying him for his injury, and he vowed to come back, win the Rumble, and which actually was an odd statement since... Okay, so Jericho made fun of him being hurt, so he vowed to win the Rumble? What?
Yeah, I guess that's what he said, isn't it?
So,
he vowed to himself he would not miss a third Mania due to injury. Somehow this led to him winning the Rumble.
So Sheamus' music hit, and he came out, and they bantered back and forth. And long story short, Edge ended up laying him out with a spear after they had some jaw-jacking. And the idea is that Edge is not going to make a decision until after the Elimination Chamber, but now we must presume he is considering Sheamus.
It is amazing how, because Edge came out, and he had a decidedly mixed reaction. He has not been a babyface in years. So there's some people who are just happy to see him back, and some people who remember, oh yeah, I hate this guy. So he got a lot of boos, he got a lot of cheers, and then as soon as Sheamus got in the ring, suddenly everyone loved Edge. Sheamus may be the best heel they have in that everyone who faces him, whether it's Edge or Randy Orton or whoever, gets cheered.
We had Cena and Cody, Elimination Chamber qualifier, and they did a bunch of these throughout the evening, and Cody cut him off, went to work. It wasn't much to it. Cena FU'd him for the pin.
My exact notes here read, it was a Raw match. The most notable thing was Jerry Lawler called Rhodes Orton over and over again to the point where he pointed out his own error.
Yeah.
That is the most exciting thing about this match.
Josh met with Vince, asked if he'd seen Brett, and Vince said no, and he probably wouldn't even show up tonight, and walked into his office, and then it was William Shatner, who, as I noted on the Dave show, William Shatner in real life is a parody of himself. And on this show, he was a parody of the parody. It was over-the-top bombastic.
And that made it awesome.
We had Hunter and Swagger in a qualifier. It's another one of those matches where Hunter gave him all sorts of stuff, mm-hmm. yet at the end, Jack Swagger was not a single bit more over than he was before.
No. And not one person in the entire building would have bet a penny on Jack Swagger winning this match.
Yeah.
There was never any doubt Hunter was going to win, so it didn't matter what Swagger did. He could have cut Hunter's head off. People would have believed that Hunter's head would have bitten him into submission.
We had the fantastic deal where Shatner did dramatic readings of WWE theme songs.
I'm going to stop watching television because nothing will ever be better than this. For the rest of my life, anything I see on TV will be a letdown. This was so awesome. It's one of those things, because once I realized where they were going with it, I thought to myself, this is going to be the best thing ever. And then it was significantly better than I imagined.
It was quite
just
great.
The part where he said, boy toy. Awesome. He's cooler than me. It's funnier when he did it.
Yeah, he really is. And he has better hair. Let me tell you.
My hair is not the best today.
What is up with your head lately? Why don't you just
I need a haircut.
Like, try and buzz it and see if you like it?
I do need a haircut, that's true.
You'd look more menacing in Tulalip if you buzzed your head. Alrighty. So anyway, and we had the Sean backstage, Suicide Watch. Midget walked up and they booted him out. And Hunter wanted to know why Sean super kicked him, and Sean didn't even answer. Hunter was just like, well, you know, it's every man for himself. I'd have done the same thing if I were in your shoes.
Yes, he's being mad and said he says, I never would have super kicked you from behind. Then he started to chuckle and said, yeah, of course I would have. I think he should have said, I would never super kick you from behind. Only because I can't kick my leg that high.
I'd have, yeah. Another poor comedic effort on your part, Vince. So he told Sean he was
losing
it.
Someone gets a new house and think they can just cut me down.
What?
Someone gets a new house and think they can just cut me down.
Vince.
Over and over again.
That joke was not funny.
Can you imagine Hunter doing a super kick and like tearing something? Comedy.
So he should have said that. I would super kick you, but my
groin. I would tear both my quads.
My groin might rip.
Sure.
I might rip in half like Rumpelstiltskin. Don't think he's going to say anything of that nature.
Rumpelstiltskin ripped in half?
Yeah.
Don't remember.
How many times have we talked about this on this show?
Have we?
Rumpelstiltskin got fucking really upset. He stomped up and down in anger. One foot went through the floor, and it tore him straight in two.
Hmm.
That's the end of Rumpelstiltskin.
What do you know?
Yeah.
I'll try to remember that, Brian.
Okay. So anyway, they told Sean to win the elimination or win the thing tonight so he could get an elimination chamber. One of them would win the title and then they could defend it against each other at WrestleMania. And by the way, for those of you on the board suspecting we're going to see Sean and Hunter at Mania, no, we're not. Then we had Michaels Norton qualifying match. It was all right. It was actually kind of a disappointment. I think Sean was hurting badly from the night before. He could not run. He could not move. He did everything he could. He finally did the kip up, and Orton just kind of rolled him up from behind for the pin. And then Sean flipped out yet again. His WrestleMania goal, in fact, now is wasting away, and this made him very sad.
Yeah, the match was not much. I could not believe how little heat there was. It's Shawn Michaels and Randy Orton, and no one cared. And I did really, really love the finish because Shawn did his forearm, and everyone on Earth then knew he was going to do the kip-up, including Randy Orton. Yeah. So when he kipped up, Orton was right there to schoolboy him. I thought, that's awesome.
Ted met with Orton, congratulated him on winning the match, said he couldn't speak for Cody, but he was sorry, and sorry for last night, and this and that, and Orton just blew him off. We had DiBiase beating Mark Henry with a divorce court after working over his arm.
Yes.
They played it off like it was a really big win, but seriously.
I was just baffled that he pinned Mark Henry with a divorce court. I have seen this.
Well, he hit him.
I understand he was working over the shoulder.
He hurt his arm so bad that Mark Henry couldn't lift his shoulders up, you see.
It's a new one, and they chose to use this on the guy with the biggest shoulders in the world. A little strange. And earlier I said I could not believe how little heat there was for Sean Norton. I had no problem believing how little heat there was for Mark Henry versus Ted DiBiase.
Got a Jack Briscoe video package. It was quite great. We had, actually, to be honest with you, given the career of Jack Briscoe, it was badly lacking. But I guess for the time allotted, it was still a well-done video package.
Didn't he pass that morning?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was actually, I'm not stunned they had anything, but I'm stunned.
Believe me, this crew could have put together a gigantic thing.
I do seem to recall seeing a lot of this from their Hall of Fame video. From 2008, I guess.
Marisa met with Gail, said she was really looking forward to tonight's match, and said she'd seen all this bullshit on SmackDown with the women and wanted to prove that the women on Raw could really wrestle, or some such nonsense. Anyway.
Then she said something in French.
Basically, she said, you're going to lose a title to me. Miz and the Big Show bebopping around, talking about how they wanted a tag title shot. And just then, Punk, Gallows, and Serena happened to be at Raw, happened to be there at that exact moment, and walked in. And they said they wanted their title match with DX. Cho and Miz said no. They got an argument. Shatner showed up to do his wacky negotiating, and he announced the three-way next week. Miz and Cho, Punk and Gallows, DX, unified tag titles. It was what it was.
And then Shatner tried to freeze frame. No one knew what he was talking about, so they all left. It was not as cool as the other Shatner segment where he recited theme songs. What are you doing? Oh.
Never really had a place that had like a real good thermostat before.
Is it, and you're just checking the heat is actually coming out of the grate?
I'm just fascinated that it keeps the house at the same temperature.
Hmm.
The condo, I had one of those, you turn the knob, you know one of those?
Where it has degrees, but really it's just on-off.
Yeah,
yes.
You turn the knob, but like, even when you turn it all the way off, it would still randomly come on.
Mm.
I guess when it felt it was too cold.
I see.
Even if you didn't want it on, it wanted to be on. So, and the house would be really cold, then it would get really hot, then it would be really cold and get really hot. It's quite amazing that you can actually get something that will keep it at the same temperature.
Cutting edge technology here in 2010.
I guess so. Fuck, it seemed like it to me. Then we had the... What was it?
Hunter,
oh, we had another Hunter
consoled Sean.
Sean thing.
Tried to give him a pep talk.
Yeah.
And he said, you're Mr. WrestleMania. You don't need The Undertaker for that. And basically said he could have a great match with anyone. And then Sean just said, not for me. And he walked away.
Completely wacky. Completely wacky. Big Show and Kofi.
Big Show has a new shirt with a bear on it.
Maybe him. Miz came out to do commentary. By far the most entertaining thing in this match. Kofi fucked up yet again, slipped on the top rope, looked like a geek, tried to drop kick.
The worst was that because he slipped on the top rope like a geek, and Show saw this and approached him to like punch him or get punched so they could do the drop kick better. And Kofi then just jumped anyway, basically straight up and straight down. It looked horrible.
Yeah. Entire match was kind of a disaster, and finally, they're brawling in the corner, and Kofi pokes him in the eye, and Big Show can't see, and so he accidentally punched the ref. And the ref calls for the DQ or a second ref, and Show is going nuts, claiming, I couldn't see, he poked me in the eye, I didn't mean to do it. He's actually screaming, ranting, and raving, I didn't do it on purpose, it was an accident! And I'm just sitting there thinking, he's right.
Yes.
He was fucked.
He was fucked.
This Kofi, was not fair.
No, Kofi Kingston does not deserve to be in the chamber.
Kofi backdoors into every fucking match.
I thought to myself...
His music should be Backdoor Friend. It should be his new ring music from Lightning Hopkins.
I just remember a year ago in the chamber, we were all... Kofi and Mike Knox, I believe, were in the same match, and we were all wondering, what the hell is Kofi Kingston doing in this? And then Edge took him out and took his spot in the chamber. A year later, is Kofi really any better off? I don't think so.
He was for a while till they killed him.
Miz was on commentary. He mentioned that at the Royal Rumble, MVP had hit him with a cheap shot. And Michael Cole took offense to this. And we didn't talk about this just now, but at the Royal Rumble, Miz beat MVP clean. Then he was celebrating, and MVP kicked him and hit his finisher.
Mm-hmm.
What a dick MVP was. And he got booed because it was a cheap shot.
Yeah.
Plain to see. Michael Cole denied this. And then, during this match here on Raw, MVP ran into the crowd and attacked Miz again from behind. And Lawler called this a cheap shot, and Cole got angry again.
Cole's an idiot.
I know, but...
His character's an idiot.
Every time we think he's hit rock bottom, he finds a new hole to dig.
Actually, you're missing the best Jerry Lawler thing from the Rumble pay-per-view. What was the line?
Stryker said that Ray's size would be an advantage against Undertaker, and Lawler, completely serious, said, I don't believe that's true.
That's awesome.
Or I don't believe that, or something along those lines.
Finally, we had the great segment. It was Vince McMahon and Bret Hart, and first Bret came out and called out Vince, and he said, come out here, or I'm going to get a camera crew, and I'm going to go back there and kick your ass. I am not here to make peace. So Vince came out, and Bret cut the promo on him, talking about how he was a liar.
Vince's entrance, by the way, was his best of all time.
He was pretty good.
Strutting, he was dancing to a song, and then doing a phenomenal Vince walk down to the ring.
Yeah.
Great times.
I recapped this entire thing on Monday. I won't do it again here, but Bret essentially talked about his stroke. It is now part of the storyline. And Vince, of course, talked about how he didn't have any idea what anybody saw in Bret. Said he wasn't going to induct Stu, and Bret kicked him and was beating the piss out of him when Batista came down and broke it up. And, of course, the storyline comes full circle as Vince spat bat in Brett's face to get revenge on Brett spitting in his face at Survivor Series 97. And, you know, I it's so obvious where this is going, and I hope they don't change it. Because just let the poetry unfold. Obviously, the WrestleMania match is going to be Bret Hart and John Cena against Vince McMahon and Batista. And the end of the match, we'll see Cena take out Batista. Vince is dead in the middle of the ring. Bret Hart puts him in the sharpshooter. Vince McMahon submits, and everybody goes apeshit. Don't change this, okay? Don't change it, because everybody knows. That's why it's going to be so great. You tease the sharpshooter here, got broken up by Batista. Everybody wants to fucking see it. They're going to pay their $54.95 for it, so don't fucking take it away from them. Nobody wants to be surprised.
No.
They want to get what they fucking paid for.
Yes.
They're going to pay for a sharpshooter on Vince McMahon. So just give it to them. So this was fucking great. I watched it like three times. And when I was younger, I figured out why I remember all of these things from when I was younger much better than I remember things from today. And that is because I watched them over and over again. Because there wasn't a brand new first run TV show with a new angle,
you know,
and
that's
2 hours of programming every week.
I remember vividly a match from, it was right after WrestleMania 3. It was virtually a rematch. It was the British Bulldogs and Billy Jack Haynes against the Hart Foundation and Danny Davis. And I watched this every day for like 2 months.
You know how many times I watched like Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect at SummerSlam?
A lot.
I watched that fucking match so many times that like about 2 years ago when the Bret Hart DVD came out or whenever it was, and that match was on there, I watched that match again. I remembered every spot. I remembered every movement of each man. I remembered the commentary. I remembered it like it had happened yesterday. I remember it so vividly. And I think it's because I watched things a million times back then, and nowadays, I watch it once, I'm taking notes, and then I gotta watch another fucking show, and it just disappears into the ether.
There is too much wrestling on TV these days, that's true.
But anyway, I watched this like three times. Mm-hmm. It was better every time. Bret Hart was phenomenal. Vince McMahon was phenomenal. It's such a phenomenal storyline. They're both so great at just portraying whatever their characters are, which are basically them.
It's themselves with the volume turned up.
It's
a novel concept.
Fabulous.
There was a point here right after Vince got in the ring where Bret picked up the mic and he opened his mouth and he just paused for a few seconds. And when he first came back a month or so ago, we were sort of concerned about how he would do, and he was awesome. And he opened his mouth and he paused here, and I was concerned again, like, uh-oh, he's gotten old. And then he collected his thoughts, reminded himself what he was going to say, and he went off. And it was great, and he talked about his stroke and everything he had been through, how pathetic he had felt and crying himself to sleep at night, and how he vowed to get out of that chair.
Well, it was perfect, because he didn't want to have to talk about it, so it was very believable that he would choke up for a moment and have to regain his composure.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Said Vince called me a piece of chewing gum that had lost all its flavor, and said, this stick of gum has enough flavor left to kick your ass right now. And that was great. And then Vince went off on him, said, you're not a Canadian hero. You're not a hero to anyone. Bret just kept asking if Vince was finished, and Vince just kept going. He said Bret had zero personality. It was carried by Michaels and Mr. Perfect and Steve Austin. See, he had no charisma, no command of the English language, a hangdog-looking face, stringy, crappy hair, dressed like a hobo. And then when he got to Stu not being good enough for the Hall of Fame, that's when Bret just hit him. And they had a brief brawl. Bret got the better of that, and then Dave ran out, and that was the end. So, yeah, Raw was also really good.
A fabulous show. Raw gets better every week. Well, I shouldn't say that. This was a really good Raw. Hopefully this angle it continues to play out slowly here, leading to Mania.
Raw is always really good when they didn't do it last year, but usually for Mania, they know their plans by January, the period between the Rumble and January, or between the Rumble and Mania, is almost always good. Last year was kind of a mess, but as long as they know what they're doing and they do what they know how to do, they're really good at it.
Two thumbs up. Play a song.
That's a much better summation.
This is not where I should be. it's so exciting because every week our ratings keep going up just a little bit, little by little. And it's exciting to be a part of that. You know, TNA started from nothing 5 years ago. Now we're, you know, mainstream, right there, almost there with WWE. We're actually equal to the ratings with ECW. We're only 1 point behind Raw.
Is this just angle full of shit? Why am I echoing? Oh, it's the... Afraid that one didn't work.
No.
Afraid that one didn't work. God, it is really echoing in here. Let me try this one instead. DX abusing the midget repeatedly. Balls. Alrighty then.
Now that's how a drop is done.
Hope you like it, Paul said.
You make your joke and then you stop.
Wow. That was something else right there. I can always hear the mouse clicks here really loud in this room too now. I know everyone can hear that. Oh, sorry.
Huh? Can you play it again?
Nah, never mind. Alright, let's do 24/7 here very quickly. Then I think we have a couple of shout outs here, so 24/7, we just watched some WCCW this week, World Class. August 27th, 1983. Opened up with Superstar, not Super Sock, Superstar, Jose Lothario and Chris Adams. All the girls scream for Chris. Lothario looked like one of those old Mexican workers who's got a thick body, gut sucked in.
Tights
pulled up really high.
Yes.
Did some wacky mat wrestling, a goofy high spot. Double high cross, I guess. Lothario just kind of fell down.
This is a double low cross.
Yeah.
Adams tried.
You know, God bless Jose Lothario. He trained Shawn Michaels, one of my favorite wrestlers, but...
His best days were behind him here.
I don't know. I think he was born old.
We discussed this. He may, in fact, be sort of like Benjamin Button in that he was born old, only instead of getting older, he just stayed the same.
He may look exactly like that right now, I think, actually.
Yeah.
Adams made a comeback. The time limit expired. By the way.
The wrestling, all things considered, was actually pretty good. But the announcers were talking about how Chris Adams deserved a title shot. And I thought, how can you say that when he went to a time limit draw with a grandfather here?
Yeah.
And that grandfather's not Big Dave.
I think Jose Lothario looked better when he was doing a thing with Michaels in the mid-90s than he did here.
Well, he also had a shirt on. That probably helped.
God, can you believe, okay, when Jose Lothario, that was 1996, this was 1983, he was 13 years younger in this match. That's literally impossible. Like, there's no fucking way. He had to have been older here than he was in 1996. There's no two ways about it.
I don't think so.
And Kevin Von Erich demanding a rematch with Jimmy Garvin. Jimmy Garvin did the pre-show intro to this program.
The contemporary modern day 2010 Jimmy Garvin. Times have changed.
He's fatter.
Balder.
He looks like he would be a librarian nowadays.
Yes.
This is the man that used to have long, thick, flowing hair, a big beard and mustache,
bow tie,
a great physique.
Yeah.
It was something else.
Remember,
me tell you.
This is why, part of why when Brett appeared on Raw and people were knocking his appearance, I thought, think about what wrestlers look like 10 years after they retire.
Yeah.
And this is what you get.
And Brett looked fine.
That's my point.
Yeah. So anyway, we had they showed clips of a match where Sunshine sprayed some stuff in David's face, allowing Garvin to get the pin. Sorry. Where the fuck did I get David?
Well, he's also Von Erich.
I realize that, but that's a ridiculous mistake to make.
When people are talking about the Von Erichs, they always say, Kerry had the best body and Kevin was the one who hit you real hard. And Kevin did indeed just wail on Jimmy Garvin several times in this clip, but his physique was unreal. His legs in particular were just gigantic. So
it's called steroids.
They work.
Jimmy Garvin and Mike Reed. You know, this is why I always get upset when I read about indie guys and they've got like a, you know, I have nothing against Bobby Fish, okay? I have nothing against the guy, all right? But the name, Bobby Fish, okay? He decided to get into professional wrestling. And the name he chose was Bobby Fish. Okay? When I hear that name, I think of Mike Reed, a complete jobber out of World Class Championship Wrestling in 1983. He was pale, a little fat, goofy.
No charisma.
No charisma whatsoever. He was
just a lump of a man.
He ate a backbreaker, and then Garvin pulled him up at two, and then he just hit a second backbreaker and pinned him. Classic squash match.
I watched a backbreaker and a divorce court uses finishers within 24 hours of each other.
Yes.
Yes. So the announcer, by the way, just for reference, he also called Jim Garvin a dandy several times.
Well,
and you know what? He is. Or he was.
And then they had Kevin Von Erich hit the ring, and Garvin charged at him. Von Erich backdropped him, and then celebrated with his, I think it was American Heavyweight Championship, but
yes.
Regardless of note, Kevin Von Erich in his street clothes, still barefoot.
Yes, he may not have ever owned shoes in his life.
Yeah. We had Kerry Von Erich against Buddy Roberts, and this was Buddy doing the gimmick where he wore headgear to cover up his shaved head. He put a wig on, a rug actually, which may legitimately have been a shag rug.
This was an amazing thing. Hairpiece, rug, carpet.
I don't know what it was, but it actually did, in fact, resemble a legitimate rug that you put in your home, in fact. So they had a match, and the fans were chanting, "We want the wig," and by we crowd, I mean very young girls. And they had a match. Kerry appeared sober, which is a plus. One with a rolling reverse cradle, and then Michael Hayes hit the ring to whip the shit out of him with a belt. And
then Kerry fought them both off.
It's fine.
Yeah. I wrote down almost nothing about this, so clearly it was not very moved. I do recall that, you know, they wanted to see the wig torn off, and so Kerry did a head scissors for a long time, and this got heat because people thought he's, you know, cranking the man's head with his legs, maybe the wig will come off. It didn't.
And by the way, this I always love the wig haircutting angles, especially ones that were done better than ours, where, you know, the guy gets shaved, he puts on a wig and headgear, and you remember months ago we were talking about the same thing. Now, I realize they only put like one episode on 24/7 each month, but still we're looking at like a number of weeks.
You will grow hair in a month.
You'd think.
You will not be totally bald.
Apparently not if you're a wrestler.
Unless, yes. Yeah,
angles so, never grew back, in fact.
Well, there's that.
So then we had Bruiser Brody against Boris Zherkov. Not Zhukov. Zherkov, as in Jerkov. He was a Russian, of course. The fans hated him. Brody was described as, quote, this is a direct fucking quote, "This very popular man who looks like he may be from the mountains."
The world-class announcer was just the man. There's no other way to say it.
Fans loved Brody. Zherkov was a fine heel. Ended up outside. Brody waffled him with a chair shot to the side and the arm. And ref was standing right there, didn't give a shit. And then Brody tied him in the ropes, killed him with a running big boot, slammed him, hit the King Kong knee drop for the pin, and a fabulous beating there at the end.
Yes.
And this is a fun show. No problem with it.
This main event especially was, they had a great brawl. And when I say a great brawl, I mean you will see one of the biggest problems with, especially WWE, but well, actually almost entirely WWE, almost everyone in that company wrestles exactly the same match. They do an opening segment, they do a heat, they do a comeback, and that's that. Bruiser Brody, all he did in this match virtually exclusively was punches and kicks, to the point where if anything else happened, I started writing it down. I believe they hit the ropes one time, and when it was so Brody could throw a drop kick. They did a couple of arm ringers. I think there was one chin lock in the middle when Brody could make faces at the camera. He hit some body slams, but it was just punching and kicking. And it worked because they worked really hard at it, both of them. I credit Boris Zherkov as well. So they were just busting their ass, wailing on each other, not hurting each other like Kevin, but, you know, just working hard at this. And then when it was time, Brody just hit a bunch of big moves in a row and hit his signature knee drop and won. This was a giant thumbs up.
When it was time.
Yes.
Much like it's time right now for shout-outs. Of course, if you're listening to this show, actually, this isn't a free show. It's a free show. We haven't done one this week, so this will be the free show. If you're listening to the show right now and you like it, despite the horrendous echo here in this room, It is, of course, one of many shows we do every week. As a freeloader, you get one free show a week, either the Brian and Vinny show on Tuesday or the Monday Wrestling Observer Radio. Other than that, you don't get nothing. You just don't get anything.
Your life sucks.
If you sign up, however, you could listen to the soothing nasal tones of my voice, as I've been told, pretty much every single day. We do 3 to 4 figure four dailies every single week. Not this week, but on most weeks. Brian and Vinny show 2 to 3 times per week. The Wrestling Observer Radio with Dave Meltzer. Last week we had 4 straight days of Wrestling Observer Radio. So if you love listening to Dave and I talk wrestling, 4 shows in 4 days last week. Did one today, got another one coming up on Saturday. Of course, we have a number of other shows as well. Adam and Mike, Big Audio Nightmare, 5-Star Radio, the Dr. Keith Show, the Carl Stern Show. All of these programs, and we've got Tough Talk in the archives as well. All of these available in the archives. We have every single show we've ever done. That goes back to August of 2005. It is now 2010. There's almost 5 full years of audio in the archives. So you not only get the new shows, you get all the old shows as well. Same with the newsletters. We have a new issue of Figure Four Weekly and the Wrestling Observer every single week. These are, you know, 20 to 30,000 word newsletters. It's like reading a magazine, basically, on pro wrestling every single week. We get 2 of them. Sometimes Dave puts out 2 Observers. Plus, we have a back issue of the Observer out every week from about 1992 at this point. We've also got all of the issues that have ever been put out on the website. They're all in the archive. So, basically, when you sign up, you get everything that everyone got when they signed up, say, 3 years ago. Plus everything since then. You get everything we've ever done on this website. It's $9.95 a month if you, I don't know, have a commute, if you work out, wherever you listen to audio. If you love audio and you love wrestling audio, or you have a job that gives you plenty of time to read, then absolutely, as a fan, this show is for you. And if you listen to this show every week as a freeloader, I literally have absolutely no idea why you would not sign up. It's $9.95 a month. Let me read some of these shout outs here, and this will give you an idea of what you are missing if you don't sign up right now. It's from LM in Portland. Just wanted to thank all of you guys for the insightful news and commentary. The Brian and Vinny Show sold me on the pay subscription and always delivers. Hell, listening to you two and, of course, the lovely granny talk about wrestling is more entertaining than watching the shows themselves. That being said, I'd like to give a plug to my favorite band, Almost Is Nothing. Hailing from Portland, Oregon, they've been at it almost 6 years, touring hard, playing hard, and melting faces night after night. What does that mean? Melting faces?
I hope it's a metaphor for something.
If you like Vinny, Jesus Christ. If
you like the Ark of the Covenant or something like that.
Heavy metal and thrash, you will not be disappointed. Go to myspace.com/almostisnothing for more info, or check them out on iTunes. Support independent music at its finest. Thank you very kindly for the shout out and keep up the great work. That's from LM in Portland, Oregon. And like I noted, if you do sign up, you get a free shout out. So that's in addition to everything else you get here. You can send in a shout out and plug anything you want. Just don't go too long. This person here, for example, Adam from Australia, recently signed up. I'm cashing in my shout out. Great show, but the music people send in, not so great, equalizer people. I listen to you guys at work. You keep me going during the day. Any wrestling fan with an office job would be mad not to sign up. So go without that 35-cent chupa chup each day and buy a membership, you ball lickers. Your reviews make wrestling on TV watchable.
All right.
Although I do watch most of the shows and fast forward and just look out for the bits you guys joke about. Going to check out the UFC 110 event in Australia. Although no championships are on the line, the card is excellent. I was expecting an Elvis Sinisic squash match as a main event, as we normally get scraps. Surprised I got tickets. That fucker sold out in 2 days. Just recently got an iPhone. You guys should create an application for members. Actually, we have one.
You've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, we have
one. Well, I guess if he's...
He's new. We have an iPhone app.
Just joined, he's new.
Everybody listening right now, we have an iPhone app. It's free. Go to iTunes and click on, just search for Wrestling Observer, and the app will come up. It's free. All of the front page stuff is up there. It's not perfect. Right now, the first version, you can only download the shows if you're hooked up to wireless. You can't download them over 3G. And that is an Apple thing. It's not something on our end. They won't allow you to download shows as big as ours. But we're working on some ideas. So anyway, check that out. Anyway, said, who the fuck is King of the Boards? Funny we should...
Well, yeah.
We'll talk about it tomorrow, because we've got to figure out what we're going to do with Vinny's forum. So everybody listening to this right now, we'll figure out King of the Board tomorrow. And finally here, this is from Matthias. Ryan, I've been a... Ryan and Vinny, I'm sorry. Been a long-time freeloader from Germany and a 20-plus year wrestling fan. And after giving a try to the full membership, I cannot say anything but to every single freeloader out there, just sign up right now. You will not regret it. The archives alone are worth thousands of dollars, but you get it all for just $9.99. No more music on my way to work since a year now, as I try to catch up on all the BNV dailies and Observer live shows. Thanks for the hours and hours of entertainment. You cannot ask for more than this. And a quick shout out to my lovely wife, Chrissy, and to my best buddy, the Sharkster. Hope to see you soon in Hell in the Cell, as I will kick your teeth down your throat yet again. What huh? a friend! It's Matthias from Germany.
In a Hell in a Cell, no less.
Yeah, wow. Don't mess with Matthias there.
Don't mess with the Germans.
So there you go, everybody. That's the shout-outs for today. Sign up if you haven't already. I swear to God you won't regret it. You will have a good time. And there's so much stuff up there, so much audio. And you also get to hear songs like this every single day.
I want to thank Vince McMahon and the WWE for voting for me as the best Raw host of the year. And Vince, I want you to know that I had a wonderful experience being with you. The staff, the wrestlers, everybody was so kind, so considerate, and so much fun. I wish all of you a merry, merry Christmas and a happy new year. Go for it. Go for it. Go for it.
So 90s. Or late 80s.
Go for it. I was going to say. Maybe in 1991 when, like, CNC Music Factory were around. Snap.
Go for it. Go. Go. Go.
What a shitty time of music.
Go for it. Go. Go. And please remember, help control the pet population. Have your bitch spayed or neutered.
Oh, terrible. All right, everybody, that is it from here. Don't forget, we'll be back again tomorrow, freeloaders. Sucks to be you. We'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new Brian and Vinny show. We'll be joined by Granny. We'll talk ECW, the end of ECW.
Yes, Brian did just plug a show by mentioning his grandmother who will be making an appearance.
Yeah. Talk about ECW, we'll talk about Impact, and we'll talk about what the hell we're going to do about King of the Board. And the big $100 donation coming up. So, anyway, that is it from here. We'll talk to you after a while.
Adios.